To you it's just a game, for me it's all I know. I make them remember my name before I have to go. Losing, I can't fathom, that's a champion's passion. Confidence never lacking, drop the beat, let's attack them. They be checking for the content, you tired of that nonsense. No gimmicks, break limits, quality is our promise. This is more than a show, this is a way of life. Cause the game as it grows, takes us to higher heights. Check the stats before you check me, and don't tell me who the greatest if you don't know the history. Robert Ramon and Carl Close, the new big three, and if the opinions ain't from them, don't bring them to me, cause I go off like a rocket launcher. Man, I just ate the beat, I'm a real monster. I can hear the crowd chanting MVP, that's my mantra. Here's a standing O for the opinionated bench warmers.
Welcome to the Opinionated Benchwarmers Podcast, episode 158. Your opinionated benchwarmers are back to do what we do best, and let's discuss sports. Exciting time of the year. We're going to jump into it. We got a lot to get into, fellas. How y'all feeling? And we're going to just jump into it.
Good, man. Let's jump. We got a lot of stuff to cover, so I'm ready to jump right there with you.
Yeah, I don't know if you're really trying to hear how we feeling, bro, because you just said we just jumping straight into it. So
My bad, man.
We could have just bypassed all that, bro. Like I always say, I ain't going to hold it. We can jump into it.
Man, daylight saving time. Me and Ramon was just talking about it. It's kicking our butts. But I'm happy to be here. Happy to be here with you fellas again. Again, exciting time of the year. We got March Madness up on the horizon. We're going to jump into some of these conference tournaments. We had a tussle to get into with college women's basketball. And of course, we got NFL free agency. I made a joke about this. Of course, I don't have anything to back this or to prove this, but the NFL is really trying to get the NBA out of here, and I don't appreciate it. First, they continuously putting games on Christmas Day, and they knew that that's for the NBA. We've discussed that on past episodes, but now – it didn't make no sense how entertaining the NFL free agency period was. We're still in the thick of things. We're on day two as we record this. So I don't want to hear anything on social media. I don't want to hear any DMs about anybody saying why we didn't cover what we covered. Obviously, this is ongoing. Obviously, we're going to cover what we have so far. And as we're recording this, the updates are still coming through. So just be patient with us. But we will discuss some big names are off the table, and we'll get to them all. But I did want to get on start here, and I want to say this. It was bittersweet. It was bittersweet seeing Atlanta get Kirk Cousins, because obviously, like I alluded to a couple episodes ago, I was excited because Kyle Pitts had a pathway to be the tight end for the Falcons. But then it was announced that Kirk Cousins, for some big, big, big time money, had signed with the Atlanta Falcons. So they go from the bitter part is, of course, my New Orleans Saints is in that NFC South. But the sweetness of it is Kyle Pitts is on my dynasty team. I made a trade for him before the season ended, and I'm happy about that. I'm happy about Kyle Pitts. He finally got somebody competent throwing to him. Now, Darnell Mooney is there too, so there's a lot of miles to feed there. But I will say that, man, what did y'all think about Kirk? That was the first big fish to really fall as far as the quarterbacks. And he signed with – I got the numbers here. You got the numbers, Bose?
Yeah, I got the numbers. You talking about Kirk Cousins, 4 years, Kirk 180? Cousins. 4 years, 180 mil.
4 years. So his agent does it again. And, you know, that's another conversation that we're going to get into. But man, let's talk about it, man. Kirk Cousins to Atlanta and what it does for that franchise. What direction you think they're going?
I guess chiming in on it. I thought it was kind of an interesting signing when it first happened. It wasn't the signing that I thought would kind of get things kicked off, obviously, from a free agency standpoint. But to me, when you really look at it, as we talked about probably podcast after podcast, last football season was that really the QB position is really what they were missing over there. I mean, honestly, they have the weapons that are there to surround him, and it's weapons that can get it done now. You know, it's even though they got some young guys surrounding, you got the young Bijan Robinson, You got, you know, Kyle Pitts that you were talking about. You got your boy, I don't know why I can't think of his name now. Losa's guy, Drake London at wide receiver. And so you have that talent that to me, you know, you bring in a guy like Kirk Cousins. You've seen what he's done year in and year out in Minnesota. You've seen how he's been able to, you know, make guys like Justin Jefferson operate at a higher level, Stephon Diggs of the world, the times of Adam Thielen, having, you know, Dalvin Cook in the backfield. And so to me, you know, offensive weapons have thrived around Kirk Cousins. The question mark that I have is that he is kind of getting up there in age and he's coming off an Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing that kind of gives me a little pause of this 4-year deal for 180 when you have an aging quarterback that's coming off an Achilles injury. So in just a vacuum of looking at it, Kirk Cousins is a good fit there, is a really solid fit. I would have an understudy under him to be being groomed, but we don't know what exactly he'll be after that Achilles.
Yeah, I mean, for my thoughts on it, I think it does. It's a perfect match, right? I think it makes sense in a scheme standpoint. When you bring in a Zach Robinson who comes from a school of the Shanahans, the Sean McVay, and, you know, you leave his coach who also came from under the Rams as our offensive coordinator, so he's familiar with the system, right? So you bring in him with that system, and you don't have to learn too much. You don't have to – it's not an overhaul. You're just really learning the verbiage of this team and how they want to run things. And I think the weapons are in place. And as Ramon said, this team has always been a quarterback away. I think they last year were led the league in close games, right? And a lot of that comes down to quarterback play to determine those games, right? And so I think Kirk does make them a playoff team. I've always thought Kirk wasn't a Super Bowl quarterback, but I thought that he was good enough to get his team to the playoffs. And when you look at that division, right, it's probably one of the worst divisions in football, just from A to D, you know, just a lot of teams right there, just kind of mid, right? A lot of teams kind of floating around between the Bucs, between obviously, you know, the Saints. And then you look at,
he preaching, man. He preaching to the choir, man. I have nothing to say there.
I mean, when you look at that division, if you get a quarterback, you have a shot, right? You feel like if you can win a division, you get into the tournament at the end, right? You get into that tournament at the end, you have a chance of winning a championship. So again, I like what the Falcons doing, and then Darnell Mooney. That's an underrated move. I think they were missing that down the field.
He's speed. On my dynasty team too.
Yeah, I think they were missing the down the field speed. They have all the possession guys. They have the Kyle Pitts. They have the Drake Londons, right? And they have the both of the running backs they need. And Darnell Mooney just is that speed guy to stretch the field for those guys to open up those mid routes.
Rob, I feel like you kind of had an agenda starting out with Kirk Cousins, bro. All I'm really hearing is about your dynasty team. Like, you know, you're not giving the take on the actual squad. All I'm hearing is he on my dynasty team.
I remember LeBron won his 2020 championship, and he said he won his damn respect. I want my damn respect of my GM skills, man. That's all I want. I want my respect.
That was after he won a championship, though. Let's slow down, man. But
touche. But when you get into the details of Kirk Cousins, I want to get into the breakdown, and his agent is a freaking genius. The way that this deal is structured, he will get $100 million of that $180 million fully guaranteed. At the end of the duration of this deal, he would have made $411 million through 2027. This guy went in the sixth round as a backup to RG3, and we all know how that story turned out. But the questions, let's get into it, right? Only one playoff win in 12 years. So he did a lot of nice things, and as fantasy owners, of course we like him, but just from my perspective of a true quarterback, does this really get them over the hump? Now, I do realize this. I preface it by saying this. I do understand the weapons that y'all just said. He has an arsenal. But I think the time is now. If he can't do it with this team that he has, he can't do it at all. I just have some questions there. But, again, I'm excited for what it does for my fantasy team.
I think ultimately, just as Los already alluded to and stated, you know, he's a guy that can get him into the playoffs, but I don't see this being a team that's going to win a Super Bowl. So I echo that same sentiment that Los, you know, already shared with that.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, as mentioned, we can't go into a segment without a Saints rant. I do want to talk about Jameis Winston that has finally moved on to Cleveland. It's frustrating to me as a Saints fan that we never gave this man a shot. Now, I'm not saying Jameis was the savior or the answer, but I look at what was done in his free agency period, and I look at what we'll get into next was Russell Wilson and what he did with the Steelers. They gave him a veteran minimum. Now, I do understand that the Broncos, the way that it's structured, will pay the rest of his salary that was owed to him, which was $33 million. So Russell really stuck it to the Broncos. But I just look at how mismanagement and as I look at how different franchises and different GMs are moving throughout this period, I lose faith by the day by the Saints and our ability to turn this around. I think you have to be strategic. You can't just spend all of this money. You can't just be over the cap. I mean, just like my guy Lowe said, and he said it on his pod, and he said it again to me in person, but he said that you have to know when to pull the plug, and you have to get worse before you get better, and we refuse to do that. We keep putting a Band-Aid on those holes in the ship, and I think we're entering into, like I've said multiple times, into some dark years, but it's becoming more and more evident. Now, I do realize we restructured Derek Carr's deal, but to sign him to 4 years and he didn't prove anything. And then you look at what the Bucks did, signed Baker Mayfield to this sweetheart deal, and then made him prove himself, and now he signed for a 3-year, $100 million contract. I'm watching how much smarter front offices are than our front office. And as a fan, I'm frustrated because I see where this is going and I see the future, and it's looking bleak. But I just had to get that off my chest, fellas. We can move on if y'all don't have any comments on it. I know that there's some Saints stuff, but I do want to jump into Russell Wilson. He did sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers for $1.2 million. So just a sweetheart deal. But I share the opinion, and it's not popular, that the Steelers really got a steal, no pun intended. I mean, when you consider bringing in a guy for that amount of money and a guy with his experience, I think that it didn't take much. It didn't take much to get better than what they had, right? Kenny Pickett, they've moved on from. I like what they've done there. They see it's not working out, and then you know, obviously Mason Rudolph is not working out, and they finally got them a quarterback. I did tweet out that, you know, my concern with the deal is was Russell Wilson humbled enough in Denver? Now, I don't agree with what all Sean Payton did, but I did feel like Russell's attitude and as a led to him being a poor leader, I think that he had to humble himself. But I don't think, like I tweeted, I don't think if he doesn't change who he is and really try to connect with his team, I think he can look at himself having the same success he's been having for the past two seasons, and which is minimal to none success. But the Steelers, with the weapons that they have, I think that this was a good move for them. And the reports say that him and Mike Tomlin connected in a way that goes beyond football. So in my eyes, what I heard is that they had Bible class at his recruitment meeting. And I'm kidding, I don't have any evidence of that. But what I am saying is that it sounded like they hit it off. And I just hope, hey, the Steelers, you know, my fiance is a Steelers fan, so maybe I'll have something to root for, right? I can watch her be happy because I'm not too confident in my Saints right now.
Yeah, I'll just touch on that a little bit. I think at first I wasn't a fan of the signing, right? I just didn't see the match. But then just kind of looking deeper into it, I think the signing makes sense, right? There was reports that came out that the Giants were also in on Russell Wilson, but they wanted Russell Wilson to come in and be a backup quarterback, which, again, I think is disrespectful, especially for Daniel Jones, who hasn't proven anything in his career. But back to Russell Wilson, I think that the Steelers have a good infrastructure, a winning culture, right, compared to what he had with the Broncos. I think Mike Tomlin is a strong enough personality and a strong enough to take those arrows with the corniness that kind of come with Russell Wilson and the things and his slogans and the things that he say. you know, and the connection, right? I think he's a strong enough head coach to cover up all that, right? And I think you just let Russ be Russ, right? And when I think about the scheme, right, and they got Arthur Smith over there as their offensive coordinator. Arthur Smith didn't do a great job in Atlanta, but if you think about his time in Tennessee, he didn't do a bad job with Tannehill in their time there and making the playoffs. But when I think about Arthur Smith, and he's a run-first type of guy, that makes me think about Russ when he first got into the league when he was with the Seahawks, right? And they have that run-first play-action type of offense. I think he has the right weapons over there. Deontay Johnson, he has Pickens, George Pickens over there. He has Pat Freiermuth over there. And then you have the two running backs that's over there. I think he has the right system to be good over
Jalen
there,
Warren.
right? So when I think about those guys and I think about the play action, I think that that offense, I think it could work. Again, it's going to take buy-in from everybody, though.
Yeah, nah, same thing. Echo some of the same sentiments. And what I will say is, I still think that Russ has something left in the tank. You know, I look at last season, and I really don't think that if you look over really the last 5 seasons, 5 to 6 seasons of his career, he's really had that one bad or that one down season, which was 2022. You know, he kind of repaired things last year, 26 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, rating almost at 100, you know, QB rating. And so I think he still has something in the tank. I think he has something to prove too with the way that things went down in Denver. And I believe he was scapegoated a little bit as well too. I don't think that things are as bad as what they try to make it even seem, quote unquote, from a character standpoint or a fit standpoint. I think he was scapegoated in Denver. And I think that you'll see a good fit in Pittsburgh, and I'm interested to see how it ends up working out in gelling.
Yeah, real quick. And last year, Russell Wilson led the league in fourth quarter comebacks. That's something to be talked about. So when it comes to that scapegoating thing, I can 100% see that reasoning. And again, and not only that, the Broncos are on the Steelers schedule this year, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I kind of disagree there. I don't. I mean, I feel like it may be a little bit of, you know, a little bit of propaganda in the media and how the media can spin things. But I do think that Russell has to really, really understand that he's not that guy anymore. He's not who he was in Seattle. He's not the success that he had, and his success that he had in Seattle doesn't justify who he is on the field. I think that. When I look at a player, I look at what his teammates say about him or what his teammates allude to right there. And I don't think he connected well with those guys in Denver. But I mean, neither here nor there. This is a fresh start for him. And I will push back on you too, Los, about Mike Tomlin being able to create a culture of a strong culture of winning. And you know, because I look at Antonio Brown with the footage in the locker room and that food type of foolishness. Then I look at what's that guy, Kenny Pickens, you know, Deontay Johnson, mouth poked out because they're not getting the ball. I don't know, Mike Tomlin, you know, he does win. He has a winning season, obviously, but I don't know if he really commands the locker room like people give him credit for. I don't know. That's just my take on it. And I know those guys. I know Russ is obviously not going to be doing that, those types of things, but I think the type of thing that Russ needs is Russ needs to humble himself, and I think that he has to, you know, be willing to mesh with his team. And I don't know if Mike Tomlin going to do that, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy because I'm really on the flip side of both of those arguments there. Like, I really don't see this crazy, arrogant Russell Wilson that you're
No,
seeing. And I also, and
it's not
I.
crazy arrogance, but I think that it's like the same thing I got with Steph. Like, I feel like you're not, like, I feel like the nice guy, you know, like just trying to portray this image. And I think that all it comes off a little arrogant to me, but you know, that's
But
just me.
I think that's us trying to speculate though that he's not that guy. Like I think we're kind of going lengths to say that he's putting on a show or he's putting on a front, and I think that's a little bit of speculation there. And then as it relates to Mike Tomlin, like I don't think that we can use AB as the example for like any coach as a referendum. With Mike Tomlin, I mean when you look at as they talked about the what 15 years or 17 years of non-losing seasons, like you have to have a certain culture in place to be able to do something like that and a certain standard to be able to do that. So I don't really see that over the years the Steelers have just kind of run amok and have gone crazy or anything like that. It's kind of interesting because no, I said I'm on the kind of opposite side of both of those arguments.
I don't think he running amok or anything like I running crazy. All I say is I had some concerns, like about the, you know, like it ain't just AB. We know he went crazy or whatever, but I don't know. It's just some stuff I've seen the last two seasons, just with the receiving group. You know, just how they're just so demonstrative when they're not getting the ball, and I just was like, you know, it kind of made it was interesting. It made me raise my eyebrow on the type of leadership. But like you said, not to take nothing from Mike Tomlin, the winning seasons and everything like that. But I was just saying, like, it just is not a given that, you know, Mike Tomlin will be the reason to change who Russ is or who or the issues that Russ had. So that's all I was saying. I don't think that, but go ahead.
No, go ahead, bro. I'll let you finish.
No, we done. I'm done.
No. I just want to be clear on my point on this. I think a lot of what Russ had was people were giving him issues for his corniness, right? For his, people think, fake leadership and all these different things, right? I wouldn't say arrogant, right? I would think that he was really trying to connect, and people were giving him slack for that, what have you said, Bronco country, let's ride after every interview, all these different things. I think, like I said, because the Steelers have such a winning culture, they have that infrastructure built there, and because Mike Tomlin is such a good coach, I think he could let Russ be Russ when it comes to all that extra stuff in the media, when it comes to all that trying to, you know, pump up his team and all that stuff. Because, again, Mike Tomlin can take stand up there in front of the media and take those arrows and be just fine with that because he's done it year after year. He has a proven track record of winning. That was my point in the whole him being a good match with Russ. And, you know, compared to the Broncos, who has been hit or miss and only really had winning seasons when Peyton Manning, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, played there. So when you compare those two systems, I think you get I think he's in a better ecosystem to be productive, to be better going forward.
By the way, I do like the move for the Steelers. And I do think that, you know, I think that they made the right move. And I think that it'll be fine. I just, you know, just for entertainment purposes, I try to spin it and play devil's advocate. But we spent too much time on an average team. One of the big dominoes to fall again as we look at, you know, I think some of the big money deals. Let's get into some big money deals, and then maybe we'll get back into the dominoes. But Brian Burns, $150 million traded to the Giants. I mean, was he traded or did he sign? He signed?
Traded
to the Giants.
Traded to the Giants for a second and a fifth rounder.
And then you got Christian Wilkins to the Raiders with $110 million. I was shocked at that one. I was shocked that Miami let him walk out the door. And then you got Robert Hunt signed to the Panthers for $100 million. Xavier McKinney to the Packers. The rich get richer right there, $68 million. I think that, you know, and then the big signing that everybody's talking about, right, dang it, help me out, guys.
What position?
Running back.
Saquon?
No, to the Packers.
Packers. Oh, Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs. Thank you. Yeah. Jeez. Josh Jacobs to the Packers. The Packers are cooking, man. They had a good showing. Nobody expected them to have the success that they had last year. Jordan Love took a step forward. But, yeah, again, the Packers made some moves there. Not a lot of people talking about them, but I feel like the rich got richer with them, with Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. What are y'all thoughts on the Packers on what they doing over there? They letting Aaron Rodgers and go, and they not looking back.
Yeah, I think the Packers have always done a good job of rotating their quarterbacks, right, and developing their quarterbacks and giving them time. Unlike, you know, a lot of these teams, right, they get a quarterback and they throw them into the fire right away. The Packers have shown year after year, even with Aaron Rodgers, from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, now to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love, that these guys can develop, right, quarterbacks and draft receivers well, right? Even their receivers they drafted last year showed up out of nowhere. And so now you get a Josh Jacobs, you have now your workhorse, because Aaron Jones was on the back end of his career, 29 years old, hitting that age range and when running backs where they start to decline. Now you're bringing a Josh Jacobs who's led the league in rushing just 2 years ago. You know, I think the sky's the limit.
Yeah, no, I could echo the same sentiments. Like you said, really in getting younger to fit around that timeline, really, of Jordan Love. I think that they have, the guys around him to continue to probably take that next step as a franchise. Honestly, they surprised me this year. I didn't come in with big time expectations of them and really didn't think that they would make their way into the playoffs. And so to see what they were able to do already, I think Jordan Love continues to take another step forward. And having that guy and Josh Jacobs, 3 years younger than Aaron Jones at this point, I think that it was a great pickup for them. So we'll see. Things always end up pretty interesting in that division. So.
And as a subsequent move, like you alluded to, Aaron Jones will be a Minnesota Viking. But moving along, I like the move for the Packers. I think that that was huge. And then Ramon, like you said, the Eagles, again, another team that has gotten richer, made a nice move in getting Saquon to come home. He went to school right up the street at Penn State. I think that he's going to be a great piece, obviously. When we saw Swift go to the Bears, we knew that there was something on the horizon. And, to get Saquon for $37 million, he gets paid, and you we all know what Saquon can do in that offense. And the way that they like to do it in combination with Jalen Hurts, I think that you have they've gotten significantly better at that position. But I mean, I'm happy for Saquon. I think that. I think it wasn't going anywhere in New York. And I think that when you look at his career and his trajectory of his career, he wants to win now. And I think that he finally will be in a position to do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you covered it well. I think it was an excellent signing for them. It's good for Saquon to get paid. I think that, even to me in this free agency, seeing the movement at the running back position and seeing some of these running backs actually get paid has been a better outlook than to me what we've seen in recent seasons for them. We know the big thing obviously coming into this year and last offseason was the payment of running backs and guys wanting to sit out and this and that. Have you really kind of seen that position really kind of move and turn over a good bit early in free agency? So, yeah, so hats off to Saquon with the move. I think it's going to be really interesting. The only thing with the Eagles is how do they, go ahead and replace Jason Kelce at this point with his retirement. But the Saquon move is definitely a home run.
Yes, sir. And then another big domino that we have to talk about, and I did this on purpose. I mean, Houston, between today as we record this and yesterday, have made some significant moves to make themselves real contenders. It starts off with the move that they made with Danielle Hunter today, signing him to, I think, $51 million, or that may be the guaranteed money. But as we right before we recorded that, we notated that that signing had happened, and we know what type of draft they had with Will Anderson, and that defense was already pretty stout, and now you add a Danielle Hunter. We all know how much of a beast he is, but again, another guy going home. He grew up in Katy, Texas, but we all know he do went to LSU and everything. We know the impact that he has on that defensive line, and Houston was able to do it, and they're looking like they're trying to go for it all, man.
Yeah, no doubt. I think what 16 and a half sacks last year. So a guy that still has obviously a ton in the tank. That's really honestly a huge sign. And I was really hoping that my Colts would get in on that and make a run at Danielle, but obviously that didn't end up happening. But I think a thing that kind of that's maybe a little slept on as well too is the trade for Joe Mixon. We kind of saw that backfield struggle a little bit last season and not totally catch their footing. If you look at the offense, I would venture to say that probably a running back position was the weakest, position for them offensively. And so to go and get a proven vet in Joe Mixon, that is still viewed to me as, probably a top 10 back in this league, given once again your guy in CJ Stroud, giving him another weapon, I think that they've done things really on both sides of the ball to really continue to take another step forward, a team that already has found their way into the playoffs. Heck of a coach in D'Amico Ryans, man, it's a scary sight to see.
And he got him rolling quickly. D'Amico Ryans, as a rookie coach, had those guys competing, had them in the playoffs, had them taking them places where Houston has never been. They never could get over the hump. They got their quarterback. They got a weapon, a true, like you said, a solid running back in that backfield with them. And do we have to discuss their weapons and on the outside? I mean, you look at Tank Dell, you look at Losa's guy over there that he loves so much,
Nico
and
Collins.
Collins, Nico Collins, who turned out to be a beast. So I mean, them man, they scary, man. They are scary. I don't like it. I know Ramon hate it more than I do.
Yeah, no, I definitely do. Do y'all just really quickly, and I know there's still a lot of moving parts, things of that sort. If you were to call it right now, do you think that they're placing themselves in that contender category?
Yeah, I led off with it. Yep, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, you think about them now, they made the playoffs last year, right? Without these moves, and they did nothing but upgrade all offseason. So absolutely, they putting themselves maybe to actually win a playoff game, right? In that conversation, the quarterback is so important, and CJ Stroud, the rookie of the year, which let's not go there,
Yeah,
but
I heard the way you were saying that. You
the
grudgingly
rookie of the
said
year.
that.
I think they just got a shot. They have all the right pieces
He
in
wanted
place.
Puka to get it. He wanted Puka to get it.
I mean, how he does not get it. I mean, a guy that just historical, I just don't get it. Whatever. That's neither here nor
You
there.
said it. The quarterback is the most important position on the field.
Right. Yep.
Getting him stirred up.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But moving on, I mean, there's so many moves, but we got to talk about this one, obviously. Tony Pollard. I'm joking. King Henry to the Baltimore Ravens. Man, that's a scary, 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 scary backfield, man. I don't know what I don't know what the linebackers are going to do. I don't know what decisions. I don't know how a defense coordinator is going to scheme for those guys. But
Oh, big trade. I didn't mean to cut you off, but a big trade just came through. The Steelers are sending Deontay Johnson to the Carolina Panthers, a new weapon for Bryce Young. Sorry, but
That's
carry
nice.
on, brother.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's big for Bryson.
that's not Bryce Young. And when you mentioned Deontay Johnson earlier, I felt like he was going to be traded. But yeah, guys, two-headed monster in the backfield, man. What you doing, man? You either got this big freight train coming after you, or you got this guy who you'll break your ankles if you make one step.
Yeah, first of all, that is dangerous. Like the read option with Derrick Henry coming straight downhill, the offense is perfect for him. Is the read option is designed already to be in a situation where the box is thin, right? Where that defensive end have to make a decision to crash down or to take the quarterback out the play. So now what are you doing? Not only that, the read option has a decision in there where you can throw the ball. Right. So that's just scary with Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry is anything like he's supposed to be, I love the move.
Yeah, and I think the thing about it too, it takes the pressure off him in the backfield. Like he doesn't
Yeah.
necessarily just have to be exclusively a workhorse at this point. So you fit him within that scheme, it's gonna be trouble, man. It's gonna be trouble. What do you do in goal line situations, like you're saying, when either you can hand it off to Derrick Henry or Lamar can pull and go? Like I just don't know what you do with
Yeah.
that.
And then with Lamar, we all know, took a step forward with his pocket presence. And Lamar is getting really, really strategic when he chooses to take off. But now you throw that Derrick Henry factor. Man, I didn't want to ask you guys that when we was talking about Saquon. Over or under on how many goal line touchdowns Jalen Hurts steals from Saquon in a 17-week season?
Yeah, I can see it be frustrating. Not only that, the Eagles still like to rotate their backs in and out. So again, I like the matchup and I like it for a long-term decision, but it can be very frustrating as a fantasy manager.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at it, like you said, it's definitely gonna be kind of frustrating, probably from a fantasy standpoint, from some Saquon owners. But I mean, Jalen Hurts, just over the last couple seasons, I think what he had, 15 rushing touchdowns last year, 13 the year before. He's been double digits at least the last 3 years. So to answer your question, he's probably gonna take at least eight or nine of Saquon's touchdowns away from him. I'll probably put the over under at 8.5.
Okay, Lowe's.
Yeah, I mean, at least five. I mean, at least, it's going to be, they didn't ban the tush push. It's still around. I know they were going to talk about this offseason, until that changes, he's going to continue to vulture those touchdowns.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. I think I'll say six. I'll go over six. Anyway, that was fun. But yeah, we must talk about it. Like we told you as we record this, a lot of things would change. And like Lowe's mentioned, Deontay Johnson was a weapon for Russell Wilson. Now he'll be a weapon for Bryce Young. Very impactful trade. I think that Bryce Young, even when we talk about that, it wasn't a lot to brag on. It wasn't a lot around him for him to succeed, starting with his protection. But an argument could be made that he really didn't have that guy out there, and now he got his guy in Deontay. We know what Deontay can do. Multiple seasons with over 100 catches. He's a route running savant. He's able to get open. He's able to get separation. We know what Deontay brings to the table. How big is that for the Panthers? And again, another NFC South team making moves outside of us.
By us, you mean the Saints. But yeah, I think the move is huge. I mean, he was missing that guy. I think it was just pretty much, no, you guys, his face expression is hilarious. No, I think, I mean, we look at it, right? He had Thielen looking pretty good through like weeks 1 through 8. He was like a wide receiver one coming out of nowhere. And so now you get pretty much a younger version of that, a guy that can move in the slot, a guy that can move on the outside, that can get open, right? And I like the move. I think it's just the start. Right now, the Panthers, what you have to realize is they're in a prime position. I think they have the 33rd overall pick and the 39th pick. So they're right at that top of that second round with two of those top picks. So I think they still go grab another weapon for him. I think this is just the start. You have to bring in more. You have to bring in a bigger body for a guy like Bryce Young. So I like it.
Yeah, you covered it. Anything, you got to get the guy weapons, and that's what you honestly have to do. That's when you see these quarterbacks take that next step forward, is when they get the guys around them, and I think that this is the first step. So it actually hats off, I mean, to the Carolina Panthers franchise for doing that. I mean, you've invested a lot into Bryce Young, so you got to make sure you get a return on that investment and put the right things around him.
Yep. So, I mean, anything overall, I think we covered the big fish. As you say, this stuff is pending. So
we're not gonna cover Michael Pittman re-signing.
We can go ahead.
Nah, I'm just messing with y'all, man. I gotta throw my Colts in there some type of way. I mean, y'all already made, you know, the Rams comments a little bit and some of the Saints in there, so I gotta at least throw my Colts in the game too.
Go ahead, man. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, just of course, bringing back Michael Pittman, who's been our wide receiver one for the last couple of years, bringing him on a nice deal. The thing about it, sometimes we get caught up in free agency of really the names that you go and get, and a lot of times don't focus on the guys that you actually keep and the guys that you retain, which is just as key. So we signed him to a 3-year, $70 million deal. And, you know, I'm good with that. I'm happy with that. It's a guy that needs to come back to our team and give Anthony Richardson, you know, a wide receiver one upon his return. So.
Yep. Good spiel, man. As we said, these things are pending, and, you know, we plan on this episode coming out, of course, tomorrow, which we drop on usually on Wednesdays. But hey, something could change. A lot could change in the morning. I will mention this. Chase Young is going on tour, and my New Orleans Saints is in the running. I'm not getting my hopes up again. We don't have the money to pay this man. So we'll see what happens with that. But some of his suitors is New Orleans, the Titans, and the Panthers. You know, as we mentioned earlier, they lost Burns. So maybe they're trying to get another splash with another defensive player. But ultimately, Chase Young is a talent. He's still young. He's had some injury issues early on in his career. But we saw how effective he can be, even with San Francisco. So, I mean, I'm interested to see where he go. If you guys had to guess where he's going, what would you say?
I'll just say probably the Panthers, right?
Man, you can't get the Saints nothing, huh?
No, not on my watch.
Hey, I would say the same thing. I would guess the Panthers too, but
man, he really want to go to that sad team. Well, let him do it. More money in our pockets. But as
That's
we
how you get
train,
over it, huh? That's how you move fast.
but were there any surprise signings that you guys didn't really see, or some we didn't talk about?
I was kind of shocked to see Patrick Queen head from Baltimore to Pittsburgh. I thought that that signing for the Steelers was kind of interesting. That one kind of stuck out to me. I think that if I am correct, I think, gosh, what were the numbers on that deal? Trying to see, I think it was maybe a 3-year deal for 57 million or something like that.
Pretty significant. Los, you got the numbers on it?
Almost a year, 3 years, my bad. Not 57 million, but 3 years, 41 million. So I thought that that was kind of an interesting signing, kind of going to a division rival, obviously. And I didn't really see him leaving Baltimore like that. So that one kind of stuck out to me.
Yeah, one that stuck out to me was Tony Pollard to the Titans. Obviously, that didn't work out with him being the guy when Zeke left. He's not a, you know, he's not the guy. He wasn't the guy this past season. Didn't have the best season, and he was a little banged up this season as well. So the Titans had to get, you know, had to get a running back, and they went and got Pollard. But it was just surprising to see how that situation was handled. I thought he might have been given another chance, but he wasn't. So that was one of my surprises. But as we transition, oh, go ahead.
Well, not really a surprise. Are we still sticking with free agency or moving or shifting past this now?
Oh, I was about to shift past, but if you
Okay,
got
I was
something else.
the only other thing that kind of stuck out to me is the little buzz that's been surrounding T. Higgins. Like, do y'all really think that T. Higgins is gonna get moved and get traded?
I think that it's a kind of like I think he didn't want to be tagged, and it's a move that he's trying to, you know, kind of force the Bengals' hand, from what I see. But obviously the relationship is not good between them. He didn't want to be tagged. He was offended by that. I will say this, that the Bengals have messed up so far, has gotten it wrong with Joe Burrow and what they've done for his career. You know, they did try to get him an offensive lineman this year and to get him some protection. But if they were to let T. Higgins out the door, that would be a travesty. That'd be a travesty. You don't get better losing a guy like that.
Yeah, I think he's serious about being traded, right? I think just because when you think of Joe Burrow, who's gotten paid, right, top dollar, Ja'Marr Chase, his contract is coming up, you know, and you just look at how you have to spread your money around. I don't think they have the funds to pay two number one receivers, and that's what T. Higgins want. He wants number one receiver money. So I think he's serious about being moved. Whether he gets moved or not, I don't think so. I think the Bengals want to see if they can hold on to that pairing as long as they can. But again, when you look at this receiver crop, right, it's so easy for them to replace. Not, I'm not saying easy, because T. Higgins is a top talent. But again, we've seen guys come into this league and show up, right? When you got a Brian Thomas who can be had at their pick point, you could see them possibly doing a draft day trade where they say, okay, cool, we can trade you, right? And the thing about it is, what we got to realize is, when you trade a guy that has been tagged, right, you are pretty much saying, hey, you're not expecting to get a lot of picks back or a top pick back, because you're trading for a guy and expecting to pay them. And you can look at a guy like Brian Burns in that type of deal, right? The Giants had to trade for him. They didn't get a first round pick or anything for that guy, for that type of talent. They got a second and a fifth, and the Giants end up having to pay him. So again, they can probably get a second or whatever for him and make that draft day deal.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that that's a good point. But as we transition out of free agency, we do have to touch on it. I mean, it is March Madness. We are approaching that season. The women's tournament I'm more excited about than the men's tournament, because my LSU Tigers will be in the thick of things as far as competing. You know, a couple of things we could touch on is how that game went down. Of course, South Carolina won the SEC championship, but LSU gave them all they can handle with six girls, and we all know about the fight that happened, you know, and ultimately, you know, I think a suspension for Cardoso will be coming forth, and ultimately, I think that you know, and then ultimately the brother of Flajay Johnson was we saw was arrested. But I mean, I think I will say this. Let's get the mature piece out of the way. Of course, you know, this is basketball. This is a sport. You know, that type of behavior has no room in the sport. I think that is very dangerous game, especially when you got people out the crowd jumping onto the court. The crowd, you know, I do think that we got to move forward on it. But honestly, this is what the girls' women's sport needs. I feel like that rivalry between South Carolina and LSU is brewing. And I think that that's what kind of propels the WNBA. Now, I'm not comparing anybody to Magic Johnson and Larry. I'm not. But the NBA was not as popular. The beginning of the NBA popularity started with their rivalry again with Indiana State and Michigan State. So, I mean, I think that this kind of stuff, even though it's sad to see mature-wise, I think that this rivalry, it won't just end here. So, I don't like to see this, but I will say that, you know, definitely the competition is there.
Wait, are you saying you don't like to see it to be politically correct? Like, let's get real. Let's get real up in here right now. Like, you talking to your bros right now. You saying you don't like to see it just to, you know, be politically correct for the pod? Or
as long as no one gets hurt, okay. I don't mind a little chippiness and competitiveness. I think it was all just competitive. They don't like each other. And it starts back from last season and in South Carolina feeling like if they would have been in the championship, LSU wouldn't have won the championship. So I do feel like it's a rivalry that's brewing and it is fun to see. Going forward, they will see each other again. But unfortunately, each of them will only have five girls. I think they said that. I don't know what they said that was going to happen.
What's going to happen is only the people that were injected for the fight are going to miss the game. So that is South Carolina center, which I forget her name.
Cardosa
is going to miss the first round of the tournament. She's the only player that was ejected for the fight. All the players that we had to leave the bench. They just had to leave the bench for that game. So they'll have most of their roster except their star center in Cardosa. Yeah, they cleared that up towards the end when they were talking. They initially said all their players are going to be suspended the first round, which was going to leave like five, six girls. But they cleared that up towards the end.
Do you have any thoughts about the game or anything?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that, you know, kind of once again, it was some similar facets to the way. Well, let me take that back. It wasn't too similar to the first game because honestly, LSU kind of the first matchup that they played. I mean, they really outplayed them for the majority of that game. And then South Carolina kind of took it at the end of that matchup. I think in this one, South Carolina played. It was really a defensive clinic, really good defense. LSU obviously was compromised, though. You know, LSU with the whole last year Poa situation that had just happened. And then obviously we know that Michaela Williams hasn't been 100%. We know that Angel Reese was playing on a bum ankle. LSU was really kind of beat up at these, you know, this point of the season. And obviously a lot due to the depth and things of that sort. But the way that I look at it, man, I think that it would be storybook, man, for them to end up, you know, in the championship game against each other and have another time to square off. You know, I think that would be, as you mentioned, a big deal, a big boom for the ratings. I think that honestly, the ones at the head of it would love to see South Carolina, Iowa, LSU, and USC in that Final Four. I think that that's honestly what the ones that, you know, get paid the big bucks for, and on the other side of it, that's what they would want to see in the women's game. And I think that would be honestly very interesting. So to get to your point, I think that the rivalry definitely is good for the sport. And I think that these are two teams that anytime they match up, it's going to be a close matchup. It's going to go back and forth, and it's going to be drama.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Dawn Staley. I thought she was a class act and how she handled that. Also, you know, shout out to the girls for competing. The women are competing. Temperatures flared, obviously. And, you know, to see the passion for the game. Again, I'm glad no one was hurt. I do think that the brother, I thought he was out of line for stepping on the court. I think he should have just stayed out of that, you know. I don't know what he was really trying to accomplish, because was he planning on attacking her? I don't know. But I just felt like he, you know, I think sometimes you guys just gotta let the coaches handle it, the refs handle it. Obviously, but what do y'all think about little Haley, man? Little Haley, a little pit bull, huh? She ran to
Nah.
the action,
Nah, she really bought that, bro. Like she
man. Bro,
been, you've seen it since her Louisville days. Like she
she
really
got
liked
that,
it.
yeah, she got that fire in her, man. She got that fire. Shout out to all the women involved. Good luck to LSU as they approach the tournament. I'll be locked in. Again, I'll be probably more locked in with the women's tournament than I will with the men. I think that the women are playing some great basketball. And I think, I think it's gonna be fun to watch. As we get move closer, we'll get into March Madness, of course, with the men's and women's tournament. So, guys, I think we did it again. We covered a lot in a short time. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast for Opinionated Benchwarmers on anywhere where you listen to your podcast. So that's Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you like to listen to your podcast. And make sure that you're following us on social media. On Instagram, it's @O_Benchwarmers, and on X, formerly known as Twitter, @O_Benchwarmers. And until next time, we out of it.
Later.